Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And I'm Kane. Yay!
Yeah, you're back.
I'm back.
You got your mask on.
Yay!
And hair.
Made our day. And hair. And your fake hair, which was never really explained. I wish they did a thing where Kane would explain why he had that fake hair.
It just looks
dramatic.
Cooler, I guess.
Yeah.
To have
it
the
does.
Hair
no,
on
I
the
agree.
Mask
I totally
to
agree. I'm saying. I don't want Larson's interpretation of it. I want Kane's interpretation of it.
Well,
because Kane, I don't think, cares what looks cool. I mean, he wore, like, a Sears suit for, what, a year?
Well, it fit his character.
Yeah, I know, but I just want to know, like, he can't say, I have this hair because it fits my character. He's got to say, you
well,
know,
he can't say that.
I was scarred when I was burned by my
yeah,
brother.
Yeah, no,
or
no, I know
him.
He can't say that kayfabe-wise, but, you know.
I want to know
shoot.
Kayfabe.
He can
I
say
wanna know
shoot. Like
what's
shoot
the work
fashion.
Explanation for his shirt, for his hair. Not his shirt, his hair. And you're not helping me right now, Larson.
My explanation will probably be better than his.
Almost 2 years he's been wearing that suit for. October 27th, 2013.
Really?
Apparently,
oh my
apparently.
God.
That's like, I don't know. I'm sure
Kane's been around that long?
I think so.
That's crazy.
Yeah, he was the director of operations from the Hell in a Cell October 27th, 2013.
Wow. Oh my goodness graciousness. How time has passed.
Because this is
anyways,
the 1 year! The 1 year anniversary!
It is, that's right. Welcome to our birthday edition of Going in Raw. Yeah.
Hooray!
Friendships were made, friendships were tested thanks to WCW in the mid-80s.
Yeah.
In that time, I've had a child, Larson's had a child, Dan bought a little thing of dice.
I brought a tiny bottle of 100 dice. There are 100 tiny little dice.
We've all changed
yeah,
so
we've
much.
All grown.
So yes. Many life changes and, yeah, growth. And it's been pretty amazing. I'm literally wrestling with a child.
Wow. The child represents the podcast, and that's why I'm
really
here.
Really does. And it just like just moments ago, she was just sound asleep, and now she just anxiously wants my blue snowball mic. But you can't have it, child. I put regular show on the TV. Damn it! You should be watching that. Anyways, can we talk about an old man about to die in the fucking ring last night?
Yeah, that was rough to see.
Can we talk about my ultimate low light was literally me being scared when Sting collapsed and thinking that, oh, fuck me, we're going to have another Lawler incident, but this time it's going to be in the middle of the ring and he's going to die. I was, man, that freaked me the fuck out.
Yeah, that was tough.
Discuss.
That's it. That's it.
Yeah,
we all agree with this one.
I was just sitting there hoping he was going to get back up. I didn't care about the match anymore.
Yeah.
I know. At that point, it's like, oh, God. I mean, look, do we really need, and I know, from what I understand now, like, I looked it up this morning because I was very concerned with our friend Steve Borden.
Yeah.
I wanted to know, like, what the latest was, and apparently they say it's a significant neck injury from, not even the table spot, from the power bomb against
the turnbuckle
spot.
But this is what I was curious about. If it was that serious, you know, and I hear significant, I think, you know, like Tyson Kidd serious. Like broken neck status. But if that maybe the case, well, here's two things. If they think at the moment it's significant, then just have Seth Rollins come over and pin him right there. Don't do a couple extra spots. Two, I just read while I was on the toilet earlier that Sting is supposed to be on Raw tonight. Ooh. If it's really significant, send him home.
You read that like it's sort of an updated version of him still being at Raw? Or
yeah.
Or was that?
Okay, no, yeah. That was supposed to, yeah, it was this morning I read that.
Oh, yeah. 26 minutes ago, WWE issued a statement saying that Sting has been injured. And that's all they say. Sting was injured, and that's it. Hmm. So he may not be on Raw, actually.
Yeah. I don't know.
Because it was a weird little spot. It seemed like a slight fuck-up, because he just sort of fell backwards through the gap and then just slammed back onto the table. Which collapsed beautifully, I may add. That
no, it totally did. But and if you... And, you know, I read one thing where it said it looked like he hit his head pretty bad on one of the monitors.
Yeah,
which
I
don't know why those monitors were still, like, we all know. Dan, you've been watching for, what, 2 years now? Even you know.
Yeah.
You don't, you take the monitors out of the table.
Yeah.
Why are everybody the monitors padded ever so slightly? Just put a little bit of, like, cushioning around them.
You know how well we know that? In the video game, when you hit left bumper, you take the monitors out of the table.
Yeah,
it's that much of a standard now.
It's the same standard that says that when you have a six-man ladder match, someone's going to ping off into space at some point and just morph into a hideous creature.
We all know
that
this
always
by
happens.
Now. We all know this. Triple H turns into the large Hadron Collider.
Hadron Collider, yeah.
Yeah.
Not it is kind of weird. I will say it's weird when they take the monitors away. It's like, oh, let's make sure you don't get too hurt. That's kind of weird when you are wrestling someone. But it's weird that we accept that much of it. But
I mean, I know at one point somebody just needs to turn and say, what, it's fake. Well, I don't really want to hurt the guy.
Mm. Yeah.
We're going to have beers after this. But my thing is, he's 56 years old. Okay, mm-hmm. let's say he can... honestly, it reminded me of the wrestler, of Randy the Ram's mm-hmm. last match. That's fine, you do the table spot. We didn't need that. What we didn't need even more, though, was... And granted, it might have just been a fluke thing, because the powerbomb into the turnbuckle, I've always felt, probably is safer than an actual powerbomb, mm-hmm. because, or probably doesn't feel as bad as slamming your back against the ring. You're... sort of being tossed into, now I have no idea because I'm not a wrestler, I would never want to be, but it just always, it always came off to me as being powerbombed into the corner turnbuckle.
I agree. you raise a good point.
Good job, Alabama, way to go. You just sort of, like, I don't know, to me it just doesn't look as bad, so, but again, do we need any powerbombs on Sting? You know
well,
what I mean? Like
two of them, because they're
much. Exactly.
Yeah, he got two of them.
Like, I know maybe he wants to hang with Rollins. Maybe it's a pride thing for him. But at a certain point, if you're not going to let Daniel Bryan wrestle because you're concerned about his concussions and his own doctor is saying you can wrestle, then you should probably apply that, you know, across the board.
Yeah.
Okay, let's be careful for our people.
And now,
he's 56 years old.
And now I'm curious if they're going to tell Rollins he can't do the turnbuckle powerbomb, considering, you know, at least according to reports now, Sting got injured because of it. And yet they banned the curb stomp because it may at some point hurt somebody.
Yeah, and honestly, you know? Like that really seems like more of a I know, and even the curb stomp seemed like more of a perception thing because it looked like it could hurt somebody.
Yeah.
And it's never had a history of hurting anybody, you know.
Mm-mm.
So I don't know. It's honestly, it's an ugly move. But I think my broader point is just he's 56 years old. We're fine. Like I was totally fine with a submission type match or like a rest hold type
pace.
Match.
Yeah, a slower
pace. A slower pace WCW match. It was unnecessary. You know, we didn't need all that. And I was legit scared. Like when he collapsed, I was like, oh, fuck, that's not good.
Yeah.
Bama was upset too. So, anyways, that was honestly like a major low light for me, which for what was, I mean, honestly, I don't know. I don't know how you guys felt all in all about the pay-per-view, but it kind of, I don't want to say it was, I didn't have like my hopes up necessarily for the pay-per-view, but aside from a couple of decent spots and Charlotte winning, which we all kind of knew was going to happen,
oh, yeah.
You know, for a while now, I don't know. There was something lacking to it. There was something, I don't know. It sort of felt lackluster to me. What'd you guys think?
Yeah. I don't think anything really... They never really picked up with anything. I mean, mm-hmm. a lot of the matches... There was a lot of title changes. There was a lot of quite big matches in there as well. And none of it really felt like anything.
None of the matches really felt like they advanced anything story-wise. Kind of across
the
board.
Yeah.
I mean, like...
Yeah. But if you look at it on paper, they kind of did. Like, a lot of things kind of happened. Like, John Cena, he got his United States Championship back. He can then go and do whatever he wants.
I know, but Seth it feels Rollins. Like... But that just feels like a reset. It's like, okay...
Yeah, that's why probably... It felt like we stepped... Yeah. Last pay-per-view, we stepped up something, and now we've just stepped back. We're just back where we were 2 months ago. And it's like, oh, we're here again.
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure Cena's going to start doing his U.S. Open Challenge every week. And I don't know how long that's going to last.
Owens has the Intercontinental Championship. That's a highlight.
Yeah, that's great. The Owens one. That's fantastic.
That's kind of new. I was really hoping... I know I'm kind of going all over the map here, but I don't really care. the Dudley boys, I was really hoping. I thought it was great. That was one of my highlights, honestly, was at the very end when the New Day called for the tables.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was great. And I was really, really, really hoping the Dudleys were going to go through the table. Mm-hmm. Because that would have been the perfect... I mean, granted, you have to have the Dudleys get over in some fashion, and their way of doing it was putting Xavier Woods through the table. But I thought it would have gotten so much great heel heat mm-hmm. to have the Dudleys go through the table after all the whole save the tables thing. And I know, you know, you can say, well, that was their intention, but I would have loved to have seen that because that would have just added so much more fuel to this particular fire.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't, that was my one complaint about that. But otherwise, that was a really fun match.
That was my highlight of the entire night. The New Days versus Dudleys. Because it was... I mean, there were so many great bits. Like, don't boo the president. which is the greatest line ever said in a wrestling ring. Don't put the president. This is absolutely glorious. And then playing the Final Fantasy victory theme on that trombone when they won. Just it's the detail. They've got so much detail for their matches.
Nothing
comes close to them.
Nothing comes close to Big E and his gyrations.
Oh, I know.
they're so
funny.
He's so hilarious. They're all great. I mean, I don't know. They're just always their show style. It's yeah. I don't know. They're great. Dolph Ziggler versus Rusev. I mean, is this done with? Are we done with that now?
Yeah, hopefully.
Dolph Ziggler. He came out with a picture of Lana on his dick.
Oh, is that who it was? I couldn't tell if it was Lana or him on his.
Oh, was it?
I
him?
Thought it was him.
I couldn't tell.
Oh, it was him.
I saw
one picture of him, and I didn't know what it was, and then I saw it again. Somebody's like mad typing over there.
No, if I was mad typing, you'd know because I got the stupid clicky.
Larson, I think Larson, is your keyboard literally mic'd up right now? What's going on?
Yeah, Brad. I was trying to do some soft typing too, so you couldn't hear it.
Let's see here, Knight of Champions. I don't really see it. Somebody else can confirm for. Was it Lana on his dick or was it his own face on his dick?
I don't know.
Because either way, I mean, I guess if it's him, it's not quite as bad.
It was Lana's face.
It was Lana's face. Thank you. Okay, because I saw something afterwards, and I think it was like an Instagram that Lana put up that showed like her looking at him on the TV or something like that, and you could see it was her. But I was like, maybe I was mistaken. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure how I feel about that. I'm not sure how my wife would feel if I walked around with pants with her face on my crotch. It just doesn't seem right.
Yeah, that's a place reserved for Homer Simpson, and we all know it.
Exactly. Exactly. Let's see here. I'm trying to get back to... Where did I put my... Oh, I know. I did the research thing here. Let's see here. What else happened? I was bummed out John Cena beating Seth Rollins. I'm so tired of that. I mean, I know we've all been tired of John Cena for a while, and we shouldn't be surprised anymore, but do something different.
I know.
Lose.
Exactly. Lose. Just lose.
But he's playing so many heel things. Like the thing Seth's leaving, he decides just AA him before his match. He's like, yeah, fuck you. And I'm like, that's just a heel move.
Yeah.
I don't really understand why you're supposed to be...
Like, why didn't he make his wish at that point? Why didn't he go and sit down with them next to him, and that'll be his 501st Make-A-Wish? Take a picture with Seth Rollins.
Give him a Never Give Up t-shirt.
Exactly. See, I mean, that would have been great. Like, if he's... That has to be... If he ever turns heel, that has to be his heel angle.
Make-A-Wish, Cena.
It's just an elevated version of Bo Dallas, really.
Yeah, but it's like a successful Bo Dallas, which means that it works.
Yeah, like, exactly. He has proof. The proof is in the pudding, exactly.
I want Cena to be heel so much now. Because it's just, yeah, he's... Like, now I've been here for 2 years, I was like, oh, Cena's stagnant. And I'm like, I can't like him. And now we're 2 years in, and I'm like, he puts on a good match, but only if, like, he really... Sometimes he really puts his ass into it. And they tend to be the matches where he loses. Because my favorite matches recently he's had was against the first one against Kevin Owens and the Lesnar one. And both of those he was destroyed in. So, maybe I only like Cena when he's losing.
That could be. Larson, you were severely, severely underwhelmed.
By Chris Jericho?
By Chris Jericho. Damn,
because
what
it really
did you
doesn't
think
do
of
anything.
I was in the room and literally the air got sucked because Larson was like, I'll mark out for anything. I don't really care who it is. But Jericho's thing popped out. And I just have this Pavlovian response at this point whenever I hear Jericho's.
I think he get taken
music.
Back to his debut.
I am, because it was the best debut
it was
ever.
Yeah.
And so whenever I hear that, I'm like, oh, cool, it's Jericho. Even though I know his chest looks weird, he's slower, he's boring now. I know all these things, but I was like, oh, that's cool. It's better that than... Yeah, I was fully expecting to hear, I hear voices in my head, they counsel me, they talk to me, they
well,
do
something. Well, at least that could potentially advance the storyline. Yes.
Fandango, exactly, yeah. let's talk about this briefly. We talked about this before the show started. The third man we were all kind of hoping was that fan that ran into the ring, right?
he was dressed for the part.
He looked like he was ready to roll, because I think he wanted to like give a little dap to Roman Reigns there, who I think it always cracks me up now that when that happens, because I think back to when that fan attacked Roman a couple of weeks ago or a month ago or whatever it was. and he looks so thoroughly disturbed by it. Now I just think he's got post-traumatic stress syndrome now. Like whenever somebody pops in the ring, like he flinches, he freaks out. If it's like a new ref, he's like, wait, who are you? Who are you? Where'd you come from?
Well, then Ambrose was like, is he one of your guys? To the wife.
Ambrose didn't care. Ambrose, he was like, oh, whatever. And yeah, he looks at Bray. And I read somewhere that Bray first said that. He was like, oh, is that your third man? And so I don't think any of the others give a shit because they're like, whatever, we've been around. But Roman Reigns, yeah.
Roman Reigns needs to spend some time in combat and zone wrestling to toughen up a little bit, I think.
Exactly. I know, exactly. Again, I think that match, I think I seem to remember there were some fun things about that match.
It was quite a fast match.
Yeah, yeah. And
it made me reminisce about the old Shield versus Wyatt stuff, where they went fucking at it, and they were... Or yes. The Shield versus the... What was it? Triple H's lot.
Oh, the Authority?
Yeah, no, the thing he won. The Randy Orton thing he won. I can't remember their name. Thingy.
Evolution?
That's the one.
There you go, yeah.
When they had matches, I think it was Evolution, they had matches against it, and they were fantastic with Seth jumping off of the everything. And that's what I think is going to happen, is that they'll have a different mystery partner every single time until eventually they just end up with Seth. Because nobody else fits the Shield dynamic. And then the Shield are back. Hooray! And then
nobody's
Roman
working,
can turn on them. And we all hate Roman even more. But then he'll have the heel here. He'll own it. Dean is incredibly popular. He got popped like crap when he came out.
He's huge. He is absolutely... I mean, it makes me wonder if they just kind of know that if worse comes worse, they have him in their back pocket. And they're like, you know what? We can get him out anytime we want to. And he'll be over huge. Because he is so freaking over right now.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. You book him even halfway correctly, and he'll just make so much money.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Let's talk about another highlight. Probably, like, the biggest highlight of the night, even though we've kind of seen this coming for a while now. Charlotte won what we hope will be redubbed the Women's Championship. And it really fucking bugged me when they were running down the history. You know, they did those little mini packages. You know, Fabulous Moolah and, you know, whoever else. Wendi Richter and all these other people. Trish and Lita, and it wasn't the Divas Championship. That was invented much later, like in 2006 or something. The Women's Championship has its own lineage, and I know that they combined the belts, but still, the Women's Championship had its own lineage. This is the Divas Championship, and it started with, I think, like Michelle McCool or what's her face? I forget which. But it's not the same.
Hopefully, it said that someone had it for 28 years.
Yeah, Moolah had it forever.
Yeah, Moolah had
28. What was there a story there? Or was it just for 28 years? She was like, then was there no other divas? Was she the only women's?
She was like
the
woman's version of Bruno Sammartino in WWF.
Yeah, I mean he had it for what was it 8 years straight, something like that.
Good
I mean,
grief.
That's in itself.
Do you think they could do a reign that long for nowadays?
I hope we don't see it with Roman Reigns. I'm sure they. I'm surprised. I mean. What was Larson? Do you remember what was Cena's longest reign?
I don't think it was a year.
Really? Because I mean, CM Punk had it for a year, and that was like they made a huge deal out of that.
Yeah, they don't keep the belt that long anymore.
So I don't know. Could they do that? I think it'd be cool if they had the right guy, but I really doubt they would.
Like Seth Rollins. Yeah.
They could probably do it with Brock Lesnar. You know, he can have the belt for 10 years and wrestle maybe like 7 times during the
reign. Do it with Brock Lesnar, yeah. So yeah, I don't. Are there any? The one funny thing I don't because I was sort of looking at the screen and back at and not at the screen. I forget what I was. I don't know. I probably had this little nightmare on my lap right now. But
I gotta shake my giants just to make some noise because I feel like I'm missing out here.
I know, exactly.
I'm the only one.
See, now you're part of the group. Now you're the grown-up. when Ric Flair came into the ring,
it
seem like Charlotte felt kind of awkward and uncomfortable with him there? Like, she just wanted to hang out with her friends, and he was just hovering?
Maybe.
Anybody else get that feeling? I got that.
I was too busy slightly tearing up, but Ric Flair tearing up. Because...
Honestly, maybe it was just my association of Ric Flair being a kind of a known scumbag that I'm like, you know what? Chances are, like, I look too much in their backstory, but I'm like, chances are he was never really around for her. You know? Because if you think about it, he was always on the road, and she probably wasn't really around. So they're probably really not that close. They just play for the cameras. And he's crying, but it's probably because he's drunk. And she's probably like, oh, I know my dad when he's drunk. And he's just drunk right now. So, I don't know, maybe that was just me projecting.
She's been married twice, so she's divorced twice now, Charlotte.
Well, she's apple don't fall far from the tree.
she's like a year older than me. And I'm there going, I've just done nothing with my life. I've just got my dice. She's had two divorces. Think how much planning goes into two divorces. That's just, I can't even begin to get up that early in the morning. I really...
Yeah, these days it's really not that much. Like, I had a friend who went through a divorce, I don't know, when she was 26 or so. And I literally took her to like the place where you get the paperwork. It's just like a breakup with paperwork, really. That's all.
I just hate paperwork.
I just really hate paperwork. Exactly. So it's honestly
an app for it. Just divorce.
Yeah, yeah. There probably is, exactly, in some states. In Nevada, that probably works. So
just Ember. Yeah. That's why it's good. Just embers. There's nothing left. Just fucking.
Speaking of Charlotte, though, it was a pretty decent match.
Yeah, it was good. They gave him some time.
They gave it time. It had a story.
Yep.
They did the whole work the knee angle, which you know. They didn't really do that much in the women's matches, but they let them tell the story. I thought it was great.
Yep.
It was all right. It's got the Bellas in it, and I just can't stand the colossally titted Bella. I don't know what it is.
My expectations, I think, were lowered quite a bit because I was like, it's the Bellas. Like, they're not going to do much. But, you know, they let them go. It was 12. Let's see. This was the...
About 12 and a half minutes.
Yeah, and it was, I mean, middle of the pack in terms of, like, the rest of the matches. Like, it was 12
minutes.
But
I think we're so used to Divas matches lasting at most 8 minutes that...
Yeah.
It really felt like they gave...
There's been an 8-minute Diva match? Lies. Never that long.
Well, on the pay-per-view.
Oh.
Yeah.
Never on Raw, no.
So, yeah, I don't know. All in all, I think those are all the highlights and the lights I can think of. Anything else you guys...
That's about it.
I came up with a new type of match gimmick that they should use for Rusev versus Ziggler. They should have loser keeps the storyline. So that if you win, you get out of the storyline, and then they just pass Lana or Samurai off just to the next guy who gets sucked into it.
They would be so motivated at that point.
But then, like, they keep all of the stuff. So all the stuff that Ziggler and Rusev have done just becomes that person. And it just gradually gets bigger. So it could have been like 8 or 9 guys doing random different things, but they always pretend it's just this one person at the end who's currently holding the girlfriends. Like an anti-belt. That's what it really is.
No, you know what they should do? They should take that little bracelet or charm or earrings, whatever the fuck Dolph gave to Summer Rae.
I've got earrings. Dan notes saying, hey, let's talk about earrings some more. Because they wouldn't stop fucking talking about earrings.
They should make that into an angle where it's just constantly re-gifted. And so it's like a new weird kind of title where it's the gift that you didn't want. And people just keep on re-gifting it around. And it's like, then they turn into like a match, like a re-gifting match, like a re-gift on the pole match.
And then you get to the end and it goes back to Ziggler and he gets to reverse work his way through the chain to try and work out who gave it to who. To see what happened originally.
Exactly, yeah. No, that's great. See, look, why aren't we running things around here?
I think we should. I think coming up at some point, eventually in like 4 or 5 years time, WWE is going to realize that YouTube is a thing and run a YouTube special episode when YouTube is closed down and there's no YouTubers left. But does anyone remember memes? But at that point, I think is when that'll be our jumping on point. I've decided already, that's what's going to happen.
let's just stay the course and we'll be making that WWE money any day.
Well, I had this idea while walking the dog this morning that we start up our own YouTube wrestling show, but you know, do it all in 2K14 or something, and we take what's starting now as the current storylines, but just book it ourselves. So we're running a parallel show to Raw.
As much as I love that idea, I just realized something: that people will make 2K16. When Kane came out in his mask, they always went, oh, for fuck's sake! We just programmed the fucking suit! Seriously, tomorrow on Raw, Cody Rhodes is going to come back with a mustache. That's going to happen.
And then, yeah. Oh, and Sasha Banks, Charlotte, and Becky Lynch are going to be nowhere to be found.
Yeah. What the fuck?
It's so big. 120 superstars, and none of them are literally the most popular divas on the show right now.
And not DLC, which that seems like it's a contract issue, which seems like it's WWE have gone, actually, we don't want them in the game. I think they want to sort of, it sounds like they kind of want to hush them up a little bit. Like, it's sort of, let's not make a big fuss about this. They'll get them in the divas division and calm it down a bit, and then we'll go carry on. Because it does seem like they're trying to, because why else would they be in the game? Like, one of them was even scanned for the fucking thing. They don't have to be scanned. Look at Vince McMahon in 2K15 if you can find him in the random crowd, because he looks nothing like him. But, you know, just glue together a creator wrestler and call it that person. It's not a tech issue. It's very simply a...
Unless they're just holding out for some paid DLC.
No, because they said it's not going to be DLC either.
Yeah, they said it's not going to be DLC.
Yeah. That was what was really weird about it. Because then we were like, oh, that'll be DLC.
They completely shut it down. Yeah.
It's just so like, weird. That's not going to happen. Yeah, it is a bit odd.
It's very peculiar.
No, I think we should actually run our own pay-per-views. Like, just with running our own storylines and stuff.
Well, let's see how 2K16... in terms of the creative story stuff, because like 2K14, Dan, I don't know, but for a while we had our own like wrestling thing called Friendo Unify. Yeah, there you go.
Oh, yes.
And fuck wrestling. There you go. And so if 2K16 has the same level of customization, I think it'd be fantastic.
Yeah,
and then we'll show all the people how smart we are.
We know how to book shows.
Failing that, we can go back to, what was it, SmackDown versus Raw 2005 or 6 when they had the GM mode?
Exactly.
I really like the GM mode. I want that to
Or
come
we
back.
Can just go to No Mercy and just create all the wrestlers of today in there.
Yeah.
And machinimate some backstage interview segments.
Can I am
hire,
more
like,
than
a
okay
production
with
assistant.
That.
Can we hire somebody to do all this fucking work for us? Oh, goodness gracious. Let's talk about Book of the Match. Can we do that now?
Okay.
Yes.
Book of the Match. Oh, Christ. My child is just a mess right now. WrestleMania 29.
I like, just in general, or is she like reading Trump's biography?
You'll know one day, man. They're just a general mess.
Nope, I won't. I got dice.
You will. Anyways, those dice are going to be like, I need to trade these in for a box of diapers, please. Let's see here. Okay, highlight a book of the match. We did WrestleMania 29. Mm-hmm. If you guys haven't seen it, feel free to pause, watch it, and then check out, and then continue listening. Are you doing that? Okay, good. The Shield, it illustrated just how perfect they were in a match against three guys that I think we're all very much over with. Big Show, Randy Orton, and Sheamus. I mean, honestly, in terms of like, that's the bottom of my WWE roster right now. Three guys that I could care less about.
I like Randy when they give him something to do. Yeah, as long as he's being a weird, slippery bastard, he's a fantastic character.
When Randy's motivated, he's perfectly entertaining to watch.
No, he's not anymore. Well, like, Dan, you're excused because you've only been watching for 2 years. Lars, you've been watching the same amount of time as I have.
Yeah.
He's boring. I keep
telling you, but he, like, if you just look at him, you know, like, big picture, yeah, he's boring, but the little details during a match he gets right.
I mean, he's professional. I'm glad that he keeps people safe. That's about any number of people. I could say that about Fandango, I think. I don't know if he's safe or not. Anyways, my main point was this. Roman Reigns wasn't terrible back then because he had a really good role. He was with Ambrose and Rollins, and they made the perfect deal. I mean, I know I'd seen all sorts of internet things compare him to Superman, Batman, and the Joker. And that was actually a really good comparison there because he was sort of the Superman of the bunch, and that's where he got that stupid little thing where he pounds his fist into the mat.
Mm-hmm.
But he was, you know, just the big, strong, silent power guy. And they worked, their teamwork was so great. And that was illustrated perfectly in this match against the Big Show and all those lumps.
Yep. All those lumps.
What are some more highlights for you guys from WrestleMania 29?
The set. I really love that set. With the buildings and the what's the French statue called? Statue of Liberty.
Statue of Liberty, yeah. Jesus. Dan, how dare you not know that American icon of statue building?
That French statue that was in place. Never mind. Well, no, I think that's absolutely... That was a really beautiful looking set.
Yeah.
See, this was my first introduction to actual wrestling.
Yes.
And I streamed this completely legally. It's because Raw was rolling into town and I had a free night. I was like, oh, wrestling's on. I'll go get that. But this was on the same night. That was the night WrestleMania was on. I was like, oh, I'll catch up. Oh, it's WrestleMania tonight. I've heard of that. I might as well watch it. And this is what got me going. This is where I started.
I'm so surprised that once P. Diddy, Puffy Combs, whatever his name is,
he's back to Puff Daddy now,
showed up, you're like, what? This is, as we say, rubbish. I'm turning it off.
Because all of this was new to me. So every match actually... most of my notes are how I feel now and how I used to feel. Like, so the first one with Sheamus, the Big Show, and Randy, a lot of my thoughts were the Shield were kind of... They were great, but I really kind of loved the look of Big Show because he was colossal.
You were like, this Sheamus guy's going to go places. I'm hitching my wagon to Sheamus for sure.
Actually, I remember not liking Sheamus even then. I was like, oh, he's Irish. Oh, he's, okay, right, great. But I remember really digging the Shield, even though they couldn't afford entrance, they had to come out the sides and stuff. But they got stripped a lot as well. I started going, because you know when people go, oh, it's wrestling, oh, it's all just sweaty men grappling, I was like, let's watch this. And then in the first match I ever saw, two of the Shield get their tops ripped off and their chests smacked, and they're going, okay, let's just sit slightly further away from the screen as I judge this. So yeah, it was a bit like, if that match came on now, I would just go, fan fiction. That was Tumblr bait. That was gift bait and nothing else. But I remember that RKO that Seth got hit with as he jumps off and then gets clobbered by the RKO, going, holy shit. And so it's amazing. Like, the first match I ever saw was one that made me go, holy shit, that's some great stuff in it. So it's a good thing, you know, if Night of Champions 2015 was the first one I saw, then Kevin Owens versus Ryback, I don't think would have sold me as well.
Yeah.
As Sheamus, Big Show, Randy versus The Shield. I thought it was really cool. Match 2, it was okay. I mean, again, it was an impressive one to see from a first time, and Mark Henry is colossal.
I could see from a new person's perspective, somebody coming into it, that match actually could have been kind of cool because...
Yeah.
Not knowing Mark Henry's history of sort of being like, you know, a big time jobber, and that was that was kind of crazy that they put Mark Henry over Ryback, and the finish was at least kind of creative. I like that Mark Henry just fell on him and that was that, because it's kind of realistic. Like, if you want realism, if somebody holds Mark Henry over their heads, chances are Mark Henry's going to come crashing down on them, and that's going to put you down.
Yeah, picking up Mark Henry was thoroughly impressive as well. Just Ryback lifting up Mark Henry. I remember, again, every match I think had a moment where I went, that was really impressive. And that moment there, and it was sort of the Mark being lifted up by Ryback and then being crushed. And I was like, ha! That was funny. But that was a... Yeah, I didn't like it as much now, but from a newbie, that was two very impressive looking people having an interesting punchy.
Do you remember what were your original impressions of Team Hell No?
I remember immediately loving them. I even have it all caps here. I love Team Hell No because when you see all the server stuff, it's like, okay, so it's just a dude with a beard and he's a friend with a demon. All right, fuck yeah, let's. All right. That works for me. AJ Lee and Ziggler was an interesting combination I completely forgot about.
That was a fantastic little heel group.
Yeah,
They really didn't go as far as they could have with, because we all know how much we love Big E these days.
Yeah.
Even back then, we saw he had quite a bit of potential.
They kept saying it was his debut. Was that his WrestleMania debut or his actual
WrestleMania debut? I think they had said he had three matches. That was his third match, and that was on main roster. And WrestleMania was like his third one or something. But you know what's funny though is that as much shit as we give Ziggler and Lana, I think maybe it might be partially informed by the fact that Ziggler and AJ Lee actually had really good chemistry.
Yeah.
They were really good. Maybe it was because they were heels. They had a really good team thing going. And then you brought Big E into it, and there was some. I do remember there were some really cool sort of vignettes and backstage things, and it was actually fairly entertaining. And they just completely dropped it after teasing Ziggler versus Big E. Like I think they did like one match on like SmackDown or something, and it really deserved like, you know, a 3 month run with a couple of pay per views.
Yeah.
So there was definitely some lost potential there. But
and it was the night after this that Dolph got the belt, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, he cashed in his Money in the Bank. That's right.
On Alberto Del Rio, which is one of the biggest pops ever. I know that one.
Yep.
I didn't see that Raw, because the next Raw I saw was the one I was actually at, which was the best Raw that's ever been, because it was Team Hell No and The Undertaker versus Shield was the first wrestling
match.
That's
right.
Oh, that's right.
That was the first time I ever went to see wrestling, and I was like, hey, that was fun. And I'm like, you bastard me in the past. You did not savor that as much as you should have done. With Daniel Bryan trying to get The Undertaker to hug him after the match, which I don't think aired. With the sort of, he's like, because Team Hell No hugged it out, and then Daniel Bryan, because Undertaker like lost to the Shield, going, he got a hug, and then just chasing Undertaker as he left, saying, hug me, and then they went backstage, and just from backstage, hear Bryan go, he hugged me, and the crowd go, yeah! So.
I like this next one, Fandango versus Jericho. I loved like the video package they had for it. It cracks me up that the Intercontinental title was defended on the pre-show.
Yeah.
And then like the justification for this angle is Chris Jericho mispronounced Fandango's name. I was like, oh, that's right. That was a thing. And that they have a WrestleMania match over it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. And then that one ended with
roll-up. Cheeky roll-up.
That's right. It was a roll-up. Mm-hmm. That's right.
I really liked at the start the sign that said, if Fandango actually wrestles, we riot. I thought it was a very entertaining sign at the start of that match.
Let's see here. And then the aforementioned Alberto Del Rio, which, you know, for a spell, I liked Del Rio. I really liked Del Rio for a while. You know why? I liked, Larson, you always say you're not huge into theatrics. Mm-hmm. I loved his theatrics. I thought he could have been a really good modern day $1 million man, which is obviously where they were coming from with that. I always loved with DiBiase back in the day, his his on camera backstage machinations where he would buy people off and buy titles.
Yeah. No, I completely agree with that.
I thought that really could have translated to Alberto Del Rio. And I just think that they never really knew what to do with him. And I mean, they fucking tried. They put like, I don't know, all the belts on him at different points.
Mm-hmm. They never seemed like that when he had a belt, he wasn't booked right.
Yeah.
And then whatever ideas they had, they never really followed through on.
Right, right. They always, they always made him look weak. I don't know. I was always bummed out with how they booked him. But this is actually a pretty cool angle. I actually really kind of liked that they were doing the whole, like, you know, Tea Party American thing with Jack Swagger and Zeb Coulter and Alberto Del Rio. That was sort of his face turn. But then people would still chant, "We the People." It's always funny whenever the WWE tries to introduce kind of progressive politics into stuff, because it's a very red meat crowd, you know, like
they booed Obama for fuck's sake.
Yeah, I know, exactly. I mean, they're in Texas, but yeah, I mean, there's a reason a lot of Texans want to secede from the nation still. But yeah, I always kind of dug that. You know what? This is a bit better motivation for a match than simply Chris Jericho mispronouncing Fandango's name.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know, and it was a decent enough match, I guess.
I never liked Swagger or Del Rio. This was the match I remember going, oh, that was kind of boring. Because to me, I put Del Rio and Sheamus on the same piece of paper. That's the line of just sort of like, their gimmick is where they're from. And like, they're just the exact same thing. They're exactly the same. They're just angry and from somewhere. That's it.
I just, you know what really turned me on to Del Rio? What I really liked about Del Rio is when he was a heel and they went down to Mexico. Or I think it was like a Raw where they were in something like Texas. I don't know, somewhere Arizona, someplace that was like right near the border. So there was a really large Latino component to the crowd, and they would try to cheer him, and he would start running them down, saying, "I want to see all of your papers," which is like he was still playing the heel, you know, because he was the rich aristocratic Mexican. You know, and he's calling them all, you know, basically illegal immigrants. I thought that was hilarious. I mean, he would play it really well. So, I don't know. But then, you know, at the same time, he was boring a lot. So, I don't know. He had flashes of what I really, really liked. And I thought he had a lot of potential, but they just really didn't run with him too well.
They did not. They could have done, maybe.
Probably the match of the night was Undertaker versus CM Punk.
That was one of my favorite matches of all time. That was the match where I went, oh, I'm going to start paying attention to this wrestling shit.
Yeah.
This was the match where, because it has, A, the best ever Undertaker entrance.
Yeah.
Because it is terrifying with the hands coming up to try and, like, just grasping on him through the smoke and stuff. Like, I had no idea who the Undertaker was. And then I see the entrance, I'm like, holy shit.
That is
some cool. I mean, even the promos before it, like when you've got this guy that died, and then CM Punk is playing with his ashes and just tormenting the guy who was his friend. I'm like, oh, okay, that guy is the villain.
What was your initial impression of CM Punk?
I loved him. I loved both, because I love. I don't care if they're a goodie or a baddie. I just love it if they are that thing. If they genuinely play to that.
Yeah.
Like, because I don't know what Cena is, because he acts like a baddie and he says he's a goodie, and Sheamus is sort of acts kind of like an asshole and is. But it's the people who, if they're a villain and they play that villain card, I absolutely love them.
Yeah.
And they're the people who think. So I love CM Punk, absolutely.
Whenever I see, and I always text Larson this, whenever I'm watching the network and I come across something CM Punk, I always just text Larson and say, I really miss CM Punk.
Yeah,
I'm.
I've written down, I really miss CM Punk.
It's true, though. He was so good. He was so, like, nobody in the modern day, nobody was on the mic like him. And nobody gave it everything like he gave it everything. And there was so much conviction to his character.
Yeah.
Regardless of what role he was playing, he always had so much conviction in what he was doing.
It's a weird thing to see him with Paul Heyman.
Yeah.
Because that's just the most unnecessary addition to CM Punk.
It's so redundant. I know, exactly. You have the two of the best talkers in the last 20 years.
Like, having them up against each other. Like, Lesnar understand, because Lesnar's like, well, I like to punch people. But, you know, you need... That's his voice. Lesnar, if you're listening, I'm sorry, but you have a terrifyingly weird voice. It's like his voice is actually fighting to get out of his overly muscular body.
Dan, you really need to be careful here. He is Brock Lesnar. He is a monster.
I'm
pretty sure an ocean isn't going to stop him.
He just punches it and it just evaporates.
Exactly, yeah. He punches the earth and then you just show up through a hole, I guess.
Brock Lesnar was Moses. That's what we've learned here today. Yeah, punching some shit into stone and, this is the thing.
The thing that I loved about Heyman being with Punk is, you're right, it was totally unnecessary, but knowing that those guys went back pretty far and CM Punk was always somebody that Paul Heyman... Nobody else believed in him, and Paul Heyman shoved him down people's throats, saying, hey, this guy is going to be big. He's the guy that knew that. And the fact that they were together, it always just came across like these are two guys who really like being with each other. They both have the same passions, the same love for the business, and they're just having the most fun. Out of anybody on the card, they're having the most fun together. That, to me, justified them being together.
Yep. I suppose, yeah, especially like the throwing the urn between each other.
Heyman
nearly dropping it and shitting himself.
Exactly. And he's looking at Punk like, maybe don't antagonize him that much. I mean, and none of it is said. It's all just in the acting between the two of them, the natural chemistry.
Yeah.
They both just knew what to do. And you just don't get a lot of that these days. I mean, talents like CM Punk and talents like Paul Heyman don't come around very often. And so seeing them in action together, interacting, is a thing of beauty.
And I miss him.
I know. I miss him so much.
One of my favorite matches ever. Now, especially now rewatching it as well.
Yeah.
Undertaker Punk. It's even like when Punk just does like the old school. He doesn't just do the move. He's like, I'm doing your moves to the crowd. Like, fuck yeah. It's great. He just played it so well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He knows how to play heel better than God, anybody.
Yeah, pretty much.
So should we talk about why Triple H is booking fan fiction against Brock Lesnar?
I don't know.
Why was Triple H booking himself to win against everybody as like just 2 years? Wait, what year was this? Was this 2000? 2013. 2 years ago, Triple H was booking himself to win against everybody. Because he booked himself against CM Punk shortly before this, I think. And he beat
during
CM
the summer,
Punk.
Yeah.
Yeah, during that summer. And then he beats himself to beat Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, I forgot Brock Lesnar was going to lose this, and it made me jump when he didn't pop out. I don't know why I jumped, but it did, genuinely. I was like, oh, fuck, what the fuck? It's so strange seeing Lesnar lose. But yeah, no, I've always been told that Triple H buries everyone, and then... Yep. Like, from what I've seen, apart from this one match, I don't really see that. Like, I saw him lose to Brian Clean and then watch Brian go on to murder everyone else.
Yeah, that was sort of the turning point with Triple H. That's when he kind of realized, you know what, I can't, there's no way I can book myself to beat this guy. Like, yeah. There's just no way. But
his entrance was really subtle as well in this one. Like, here's an arch, walks through it, and then, like, some talcum powder, like, lands on him, which burnt him, apparently.
Yeah, there was a frozen ice, whatever the hell it was.
Oh, yeah.
That stuff was all in his belly.
That
was subdued for Triple H, huh? The giant smoking skull Conan arch.
But that's for him is. Nobody's like, oh,
it is, yeah.
Compared to the Terminator thing at WrestleMania this past year, it was practically
nothing.
Yeah,
compared to him wearing the Terminator gear or whatever.
Well, that was confusing, though. Was he a Terminator, or was he a Terminator?
I think he was a Terminator. He was like a Terminator Hunter, but he was also a Terminator.
Yeah, but that match happened during the daylight, so it looked shit, that entrance.
Oh, yeah.
But this one happened at night. It was dark by, like, the third match in this, so it looked fantastic. Mm-hmm. Which is what you want. I don't know why they did it so early. Why?
Well, they did the same time. It was just on the West Coast.
I forget that America's big.
America's pretty big, Dan.
Yeah, every now and then it's like when you go, oh yeah, when you see like the governor of California is doing a thing and you go, California is the size of the fucking entire UK. Well, it's very big. It's very big. You have a very big thing to manage over there.
Yes, we do.
Yep.
Let's see here. It was a cool match. I mean, they did a lot.
Yeah,
it seemed to go on forever.
There was a lot going on.
There was very large health bars being slowly whittled down in that match.
I totally thought, you know what? Again, lost opportunity here. I forgot that. That's right. I was watching this earlier. Shawn Michaels was in. Shawn Michaels is now a big hunting guy with like his own hunting show on country music television or whatever the fuck they call it these days. And I was like, you know what? If they realistically want to beat Brock Lesnar, why didn't they turn this into like a hunting thing? Like Shawn Michaels and Triple H.
You just want someone else to come out with the gun.
Not a gun, like a bow and arrow. Like a bow and arrow.
Okay.
Like the real most dangerous game. Like, you know, he doesn't get a gun, but a bow and arrow and like a big knife. And then they go hunting Brock Lesnar throughout the arena. And like at one point, like he thinks he clips him in the leg. And so they have to like trail his blood. His blood's like just, and it like leads to like, I don't know,
well,
the concession stand.
A bear. Yeah.
Yeah. It leads to the concession stand where he like is able to heal himself through eating hot dogs or whatever. I don't know what he does.
He rubs mustard on his wound and it heals up. Huh?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. The medicinal qualities of mustard. So I thought that was a lost opportunity, but. And then it's funny, I'm looking at the, because I had to get all the results here on Wikipedia. No holds barred match. If Triple H had lost, he would have had to retire. So we all kind of knew going into this, he wasn't going to lose. That wasn't going to happen.
Yeah. That's the problem with those kind of gimmicky things. Like, either this or this. You're like, well, that one's clearly riding you into a corner, so that won't happen.
This also set the stage for Undertaker Brock Lesnar, because this is why, another reason why, there was no way Brock Lesnar was going to beat The Undertaker, because only a year earlier, he had lost to Triple H.
Yes.
You know? And so it just didn't make a lick of sense for him to beat Undertaker. Now, you know, after he was booked that way against The Undertaker, it was like, okay, well, obviously he absorbed Undertaker's powers and whatnot. But.
He absorbed his power. I ate to eat his power. Yes. Yeah.
And then, of course, the main event... of the night, John Cena. You know, my entire an hour before this, I called my folks to see if they could babysit for me. Nobody picked up because they're assholes, and so now my entire family is like lighting my shit up as I'm trying to do this, saying, "Where are you? Is everything okay? Where's the baby? Is everything okay?" Trying to talk about wrestling, people.
This
anyways,
is important. It matters.
It's very, very important stuff. Anyways, discuss John Cena versus The Rock while I tell my family to chill out.
It was a wrestling match featuring The Rock and John Cena. It's actually the only match I've seen after the original watching, because when I was at VidCon and I was really bored, it was on at night, about 2 years ago.
I thought, because NBC had some special about this match.
Yeah, no, it wasn't special. It was just the match itself, and you get it was like a free version of watching it, and it was an hour long, and they only had 10 minutes of the match edited in at the end. The rest was just promos and adverts for pharmaceuticals. That's all you ever get advertised on the TV in America. I did not realize.
Yeah, that's a lot of it.
It's always like, hey, here's a drug. What does it do? It makes you happy.
Sounds great. I know. Here, try Cialis.
I did notice during the inside. makes me remember. That during this entire pay-per-view, like, in between every match, it seemed like there was, like, an 8-minute promo for Cena versus The Rock.
Yeah, like, I started skipping the fuck out of them.
There was literally promos for Cena versus The Rock that were longer than, like, two of these matches.
Yep.
Team Hell No was 6 minutes. Mark Henry Ryback was 8 minutes. And I promise you, at least one of these promos for Cena versus The Rock was 9 minutes long.
Yeah, probably.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, John Cena got his again, if there was any lock, that was one of the things that just sort of robbed this match of its thing, is that 2 years that this was going on, we all knew exactly how it was going to go. We all knew exactly that The Rock was going to win the first one. We all knew exactly that Cena was going to take the second one. We all knew that. And so that just robbed it. That really bummed me out that they booked it that far out and so obviously. But you know, it was what it was. This match was 24 minutes long. Jeez.
Mm-hmm. Didn't The Rock say he got hurt during this match? He like tore a muscle.
Yeah, he did. He did. Yeah, he did.
I was trying to find the spot where he hurt himself, and I couldn't find it. I only noticed when he left the ring, he was kind of limping. But otherwise, I couldn't tell during the match.
He's a professional. He knows how to cover it up.
I know.
It's acting.
It's exactly. That's why
he's an actor.
He's the box office phenom that he is.
That was almost English. The finish, that was it. Because they had their usual, the John Cena usual finish, end. But they didn't do that this time. They had finisher, pause, finish, end. It's like, it had a huge amount of momentum going into like one of the final moves, and then they just did like one more, and it just didn't really do anything for anybody.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember that. There was that weird where they did the finisher spots, and then they tried something else for a bit.
Yeah, and then they just did one finisher and ended.
Yeah, that was weird.
Yeah. So that was it was an odd ending. It just sort of, it was a bit Sopranos. It just sort of ended. It's just like, and we're done now. And that's it.
And then Cena and The Rock were best friends again. I remember after this, like, you see a picture of them like hugging in the back or something after 2 years of hating each other, apparently.
I know.
So that's a fake match. We'll do that to people, I guess. I don't know. Rock was just happy he got his giant paycheck. And he's like, all right, I don't do this wrestling shit anymore.
It's like, all right, off to go shoot Hercules
off
now.
Off to go shoot Hercules. Yeah, he's like, hey, John, you think that's going to do good? Sure, Rock. Hercules is going to do great. Here's a suggestion. Stick to fast cars in modern day. Maybe you should find an earthquake in one of your next movies. Yeah, that's a great idea, John. No, it's
name it after Grand Theft Auto. Yeah,
exactly. Confuse millions of gamers. So, WrestleMania 29. Do we have another book of the match? Do we have a...
Someone recommended No Mercy 2002 on Twitter. I did not look up the card, though.
Have a look.
I'll do that right
if
now.
If it's crap...
Well, it was on...
If it's crap,
on
we
Twitter.
Do something with CM Punk. I feel like we should watch some Punk. You know, something with Punk.
Oh, someone recommended that one because it's Lesnar versus Undertaker in Hell in a Cell. Their first match.
That's going to be coming up. I assume that's why he's recommended. That's going to be. Yeah. Oh, yeah. We got to talk about that. So the blow-off match.
Oh, yeah.
The blow-off match between Lesnar and the Undertaker is going to be a Hell in a Cell match where we'll probably see another old guy faint in the ring.
But he's already dead, so it's okay.
And it's weird exactly. they announced it on during a show instead of actually, you know, on Raw.
What's even weirder is it's called Brock Lesnar's Go to Hell Tour. And there's me going, it's Brock Lesnar's Go to Hell Tour. Yes. Who does it star? Brock Lesnar. What month is it? October. Right. Go back to the drawing board. Scribble out Brock Lesnar's Go to Hell Tour and come back with Brocktober. It's very simple.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Brocktober.
There Seriously.
Well, that's that would point. Just be ridiculous.
I've been enjoying
Dan.
September. Now let's go on to Brocktober.
My brain.
All three of us are now going November, 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 no,
November, November,
November, November,
no,
Adam,
Bar-Bember.
No, no, that doesn't work.
Titus, oh, November, Titus, oh, what is Titus October? No,
New damn Day, November, damn it,
New Day, November, John C. November. God,
see November.
No, yeah.
Triple November.
See November. See November.
See November. There you go.
See November.
We'll get a 16th title then.
Yeah. Seriously, why is it not called Brocktober? That is the most obvious.
It's the most obvious marketing
obvious,
strategy you could
brilliant,
implement.
Brilliant. Yeah. Brock Lesnar's Go to Hell tour. It's with two stops before the main event. First, Brock Lesnar's going to kill the Big Show, and then Brock Lesnar's going to kill... I can't remember who else it was. Someone
a
else.
A bear.
A bear.
Oh, who's the Big Show at Madison Square Garden?
I thought someone yeah. else as well. I thought he was going against somebody else. Oh, no, it's the Stone Cold Steve Austin podcast. It's a one.
Oh, yeah. That's right. The Texas yeah, Deathmatch podcast.
I guess that was so bitching straight. It's like, and then Brock Lesnar will screw up against the Rattlesnake in a podcast. Ah, fuck.
Yeah, it's like, wait, we do that every month.
Brocktober, he could have killed off three legends of wrestling. Like, actually killed. Yeah. Kill off the Big Show, and then kill Stone Cold, and then kill off The Undertaker.
Ric Flair says he could wrestle again. Really? Really?
Oh,
okay,
man.
Flair. Let's see. Let's put that to the test against Brock Lesnar.
One suplex, and he just falls like a beanbag. It would just be, he's gone now. Goodbye.
Well, let's do a little bit of research.
Yeah, I'm looking at, I was thinking of some CM Punk stuff from Straight Edge Society days.
Oh, that's good, that's good. When he didn't shave his chest. When he had yeah. weird nipples showing through his chest hair. That always
so
weirds me
through
out.
The, I'm looking through the matches right now. It seems like he wrestled Rey Mysterio all through 2010.
Nobody wants to see that.
Well, so I'm trying to find something else.
All right, I'm going to Google as well. Everybody Google. Everybody who's watching this, Google as well. I mean, you'll
start Googling.
You'll be null and void. All right, there we go. I'm just going through the best matches of CM Punk, and I'm just going to pick one. Begin slideshow. Oh, you can download the app.
Begin slideshow. Can we just book the match a slideshow of CM Punk?
And here he is winning things. Right. Apparently, Night of Champions 2011 with Triple H. I don't want to go through another Night of Champions. Versus Dolph Ziggler on a Raw. Versus John Cena running the bank. I swear we've done one CM Punk match.
We did,
yeah, it was
yeah, we
Money
did
the Bank
money
2011.
The bank.
Yeah, it was that. Okay. Versus Randy Orton. Versus Randy Orton. Versus Rey Mysterio. Versus Rey Mysterio. Versus Undertaker in Hell in the Cell 2009.
Rey Mysterio might not be terrible.
Okay, there's one. Where was it? Because
I know he was cutting some good promos back then on Rey Mysterio. And
versus
it's Rey Mysterio,
Jeff
so he
Hardy
can't come back with anything.
At SummerSlam 2009.
Ooh. That could be good. Because he was talking shit about Jeff Hardy's drug problems.
Would you say SummerSlam 2009?
Yeah.
Let's see what the rest of the card looks like here.
Yep.
Oh, that was the main event, too.
Ooh.
Ooh.
And then is Orton and Cena.
That's back when CM Punk had long hair, too.
DX versus The Legacy.
Who the fuck are The Legacy?
It's a Cody Rhodes and Ted DiBiase.
Ted DiBiase.
Cody?
Son, Ted DiBiase.
All right. Okay.
The Million Dollar Son.
This could be okay.
Let's see here.
Mysterio and Ziggler could be a good match.
We get to introduce ourselves to Crime Time.
Crime Time?
Yeah.
2009 would be interesting, because that's a little bit further back than now, so it would be a bit very weird to see some of them. I like the ones where it's like people I recognize. I'm
a
like,
little,
oh,
yeah, exactly. It's a little too weird, yeah.
Yeah.
Christian was fighting William Regal for the ECW Championship. This is, it's all, it all just looks like fanfic.
Yeah, look at the length of that match.
Oh, God. What is that?
SummerSlam 2009.
All right, there it is. Done.
In the bag.
This is like a half hour pay per view. Look at this. Like, none of the matches are really all that long.
There's only 2 20-minute matches.
I guess there's three. CM Punk.
Oh, sorry, three. Yeah,
three matches take up like the vast majority of the card. And of course, one of those matches is Triple H and Shawn Michaels. Hey, Shawn, these guys really like to see us a lot. Like, yeah, maybe 15 years ago, dude. No, seriously, Shawn, this is great. This is a good idea.
Well, this was 6 years ago, so it's only 9 years ago from that point.
Yeah. So, it was good. Okay. That's good. So our book of the match is Summer, after much consideration and lots of heavy research over the past 3 minutes. SummerSlam 2009
and
will
a
be
slideshow.
Our next book of the match. And a slideshow. Begin slideshow now. Banana. So Jericho and Big Show are tag team and they fought the Crime Time. Featuring some guy named Shad Gaspard. That seems like it's a, what do you call it when you have a normal word that's like mixed up into a bunch of crap and you have to figure out what the actual word is?
Word search. No. Yeah. Anagram.
A mammogram.
Yeah. There you go.
Mammogram. That's a different thing.
Whoa, I think Aerosmith plays at SummerSlam.
Aerosmith? Yeah. Wow.
Again, would have been awesome 15 years earlier.
30 Nine. Years earlier.
Yeah. 9. Thank you, Dan.
Or maybe it's just their theme song.
Can we get
to
Adam Rose? Oh, no, it's Adam Rose, our last one.
Sure.
Oh, no, it's Adam Rose.
I have to now remember. Oh, I do remember now.
All right, go then. So
okay, all right. So Adam Rose's new gimmick now is worse than any of the ones that we've suggested here on the Adam Oh Knows is Adam Rose show. And right now in NXT, he's been busted down NXT. The guy's like, he looks 50 years old. He's down in NXT now. I don't know why. But he's got a new gimmick. He's trying on a new gimmick right now, and he's the party pooper. He's like, you know, they decided, oh, well, you were the party guy. Now you're the party pooper because who knows why. He doesn't really have a backstory.
Because Good News Barrett was such a success.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And so I think they should take that sort of to its logical extreme, where not only is he calling people, yeah, I'm a party pooper. Wait, is he... What's his deal? Is he saying he's a party pooper, or is he saying...
He's the party pooper.
He's pooping on other people's parties, right? Okay, that's perfect. Because he's going to be like... he comes out and he's like, I'm going to poop on your party. And then just to the shock of everybody, he drops trow and starts crapping like he's Gigi Allen reincarnate in the middle of the ring. And he's like, I'm no longer Adam Rose. I'm now Leon Duca. Instead of Leon Kruger, he's Leon Duker.
Oh, because
if we're nothing here at Going in Raw, we're sophisticated.
Yeah.
Hence the title.
Yes. beat my poop related Adam Rose gimmick.
Oh man, that's gonna be tough.
Jumps.
You can go next. I'll go.
Okay.
Be sure to wipe when you're done.
He's the party pooper now, Adam Rose is. And not only is he poop on people's parties, as Steve likes mentioned, he kind of realized, hey, there's a hole here that CM Punk left behind. Being, you know, this straight edge type guy. So not only is he going to, you know, in a figurative sense, poop on parties, but he's also literally, like, people are backstage drinking, having any sort of fun, he's going to go back there and say, no, you can't drink, that's bad for you. And he's going to take up this new straight edge ethos, and his name is going to be Adam Forgoes, because he forgoes all alcohol and drugs.
That's not as good as my pooping
one. No, it's not.
It's a good middle card. I like that. It was a good middle card suggestion. Crap, right. So, I have two that to do today, because I came up with one that's Adam Doze, and there's just two of him.
Adam Doze.
It's just... I like to pronounce it Doze, because I'm English, and it doesn't work the other way. The other one. So, right. There's some sort of nuclear disaster during a SmackDown, as there always is.
Oh, Jesus.
This sort of thing happens. Maybe the Fukushima live tour wasn't the best idea, and Adam gets exposed to a very large amount of radiation, but he doesn't mutate or anything. He just starts to, like, glow. Just glows, right? And he's just... And you think you know where you're going with this, but I've just changed it in my head. So... They think, you know, they think they're trying to play with new names and stuff. Adam Glows is put up. No, no, they don't go for that. And they're trying to think, we want one that's a bit less obvious, you know. And he's just there, he's just glowing, he's just, glowing and glowing. And then Tyler Breeze walks past, takes a photo, a selfie with the glowing Adam, and then looks at it and turns to him and says, Adam, overexposed. Boom!
But he says in his stupid Tyler Breeze voice, Adam, overexposed. I swear he's trying to do it, Mr. Burns. I can't stand Tyler Breeze. Hey, but we get a Sasha Banks Bailey Iron Man match.
Yeah.
Ooh, very nice. That's the main event as well, yeah.
It's the main event also. That's so awesome. Right. So happy for them.
So that's it. That's Adam Rose done.
Rose is done. I've got two golden getting Roman Reigns over. That's what we're doing, right? Getting Roman Reigns over. Is that what we're doing?
Yeah.
Okay. Are we coming up with new names for him as well? Or is
if it's applicable to the new angle, sure.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Save it for next time, of course, but I'm just telling you, I've got two golden ideas, so I hope you guys bring your A games.
I got one. That's kind of okay.
I'm just going to assume you're going to forget these and come up with crap ones. And
that's a good point.
I'll just coast it through.
I think I've already forgotten one of them. Oh, no, I didn't. It was actually
very
pertinent.
These things down, man.
It was very... Wow, I just remember them. It was very pertinent to this one, to this latest, the latest goings-on. So we'll see if that still happens. That was our going-in round. Do we have anything else?
Nope.
Book of the match, again, SummerSlam 2009.
My child just sneezed on my face. So.
A metaphor for Night of Champions.
If I'm still alive, like Sting might still not be alive by the time we go to going in.
We'll see. We'll see if he's on Raw and how he's doing tonight.
Exactly. So, anyways, until Larson and I'll be back next week. Dan, we'll see you in a month.
See you in a month.
All right.
Brocktober.
Brocktober.